talks on parenting for some of the parents that have been here. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to attend those, but my wife has been able to, and she has been really blessed by them and been telling me about them in the evening. And so I'm really thankful that you're here this morning speaking so that we can all also hear the word that you have to bring to us. Pastor Reverend Jeff Lee, he grew up in a Free Methodist family. He came to the United States at the age of 14, and he retired early from a medical practice to focus on the spiritual health of the youth in Chinese churches, second generation. He serves as a mission pastor and promotes missions among youth under Gospel Operation International. He's written the Godly Second Generation series of books for families and couples, and he speaks frequently among the Chinese churches in North America and Asia. He's been married to Pearl for 27 years, and they have 4 children. And I just want to welcome you this morning, Reverend Lee, to come forward and to give this morning's message.
Looks like you're not going to move forward, so I'm going to come close to you. If that's okay. Where'd you get that Bible? You didn't hold it a bit. Did you move it? Wow. Because it's been outdated. My wife wanted to make sure that she said we've been married for 29. So that was must be 2 years ago. It's scary. It is my pleasure and to come and especially get to, quote-unquote, preach to the young people. The more that I preach, they always make me preach to the older ones, the parents. And even at church, they says, why don't you preach more in the Chinese? I said, well, you know, when I dream in English with Chinese subtitle. English is more of my mother tongue. And so, but it is a great pleasure and honor to speak, especially on Palm Sunday. And usually if I am at church, I will reserve that for myself and not a visiting speaker. And it's also that I'm not here interviewing for the job, so... So I, at least there'll be no pressure. So, and I'll preach differently. So it is good. Because it's Palm Sunday, I believe it is very important that we at least not just pay lip service. Palm Sunday, as you know, it is one of the most important Christian holidays on the calendar. And it celebrates the Christ, Jesus, entering into the city of Jerusalem. And the whole city, according to the scriptures, that the whole city came out to, they treated him as if he was the king. And Jesus, he rode on a donkey. And then he came in, and the people threw their robes on the road, and they cut palm leaves and palms and threw it on the ground. And then they yell, Hosanna and Hosanna, the one who come to save. The disciples follow him, and they knew that later that this was the fulfillment of the prophecy. But many people that would, at that time, that would consider that this is the triumphal moment of Jesus' life. And this is sort of like an apex of his career, the pinnacle of life with Jesus Christ. Everyone would agree so. For his disciples to see their teacher to be admired, adored by so many. And for people from other places, he was the son of Nazareth. Now he's become the pride of the nations. And for Jesus, that he was probably enjoying that the moment that what the prophecy has said. Yes, indeed, everything will change in the next few days. And by Friday, he will be crucified. But for the moment, it is the high point of Jesus' life. And that's why I'd like to show you the scriptures. The next one. And in Luke chapter 11, verse 27 to 28. This is what they consider an orphan passage. An orphan passage is that usually when you preach it, you don't know where to fit it in. And because the author, the physician Luke, he sort of kind of added right there, two verses. And the context is that Jesus was, he was performing a miracle. He was actually, he chased out the demon and he healed a person who was born deaf. And it was, everybody sort of revered the fact that, whoa! Jesus, he had power over the demons. And there were so many people that were following him. And he was just like the rising star. And it says there in Luke chapter 11. And again, I said it's an orphan passage because it was talking about something else. And then, but the author Luke, he wrote, a woman in the crowd called out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." And Jesus replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the words of God and obey it." And again I said, usually, but most preachers that we don't know how to preach this verse. Why? But I believe that in the context of the Palm Sunday, maybe allow me to explain. And again, I said that when Jesus was performing miracles and people really were admiring his accomplishment, from a human perspective, they thought this is, wow, wonderful. He is, in fact, that he was like a doctor. And now he has a following. And in those days, being able to heal, and if you're a follower, and if you're a rabbi, you meet all the definition of success. And no wonder this woman, a bystander, and all of a sudden said, "Wow, I bet your mother would be very proud of you." That's my translation, but I think it's very correct. Sometimes that we stick with the word, but then we lose the flavor. The woman says, "Blessed is the one who nursed you and raised you. Your mother must be very proud of you. One lucky woman." And you know, interestingly, Jesus didn't say, "Hey, please be spiritual. It's not my mother." He didn't say that. But Jesus very graciously says, "Yes, you're right. My mother is very proud of me. My mother is actually to have a son like this. She is very proud. But anyone who listens to the word of God and obey it, anyone who lives as a genuine Christian, not just hearer of the word, but a doer of the word, anyone who lives out what they learn is much more blessed. And their parents should be very proud, even more proud." And again I said, this passage, it's very difficult to preach it if you don't understand the context. And today on the Palm Sunday, I bring this up because indeed it is Jesus' great moment in his, of his life. True, cross, it is the high point. But to many, Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, they thought, that is great. And I just wanted to, from 2 points that we just talked about, Jesus met people's definition of success on Palm Sunday. People thought that he was great. He was the hero. He was the spectacular star. Everything that they were looking for. And I wanted you to just think about, for us, what is and what are the definition of success? You know, recently there is a... Next slide, please. Yeah. Recently there's a lot of buzz online and or even on TV shows about Tiger Mother, right? You all have seen it. Some professors and Miss Amy Chua wrote a book about the battle hymn of the Tiger Mother, a Chinese mother who married to a Jewish husband, also a lawyer, a Yale law professor. You all know about it? Or should I? Okay, you know about it. It was very simple. When that book was translated in China and into Chinese, it didn't sell well in China and in Asia because everybody said, this is the way we do things. What's the big deal? We don't tell our kids, oh, you got 91, that's an excellent job. We tell them, how come you only got 91? Now, I didn't do exactly what she did, the Tiger Mother did, by tearing out the toys and refused to let the kids, her daughters, go to sleep over. But I had my own ideas that my two daughters, that she should not be, they should not be playing Barbie dolls. I don't know where that got, I got an idea. I thought, now, Barbie doll would instill in my daughter, the Asian woman, this is the Western way of the beauty thing. I know all about this because I used to do, for 20 years, I make my money doing plastic surgery, anesthesia. Every day, that's my job. People pay me to make things bigger or make something smaller. And I knew, coming from my family, I don't want my kids, especially my girls, to have that idea that they're inadequate. When their nose is a bit big. But, and yes, I did. The very first time they were playing with Barbie dolls, and then a few minutes later that she had a nosebleed, and I said, don't ever touch that Barbie doll again because it'll give you nosebleed. And he says, wow, that was cruel. But a Chinese Asian parents do that cruel things. Well, maybe we didn't force our kids to take piano lessons or violins. Because we know that we want them to have the skill, but we strongly discourage them to go into music career because it doesn't support you financially. So we always choose the cheaper music teachers. Well, we didn't force our kids to go to the top school either. Because we knew that their parents, me and my wife, were not top school material. So we just said, do your very best. But like all Chinese parents, we're very proud. of our kids. Although I'm a pastor, I act as if that I'm very humble. I don't tell you about my kids, but if you do ask me, I will certainly gloat about it. I usually say, I have 4 kids, and they will ask me, how old is the oldest one? I said, so she is 25. She's married. And the people said, what does your son-in-law do? And I said, well, he works for, do you know, Blizzard Entertainment? Warcraft? And then they says, does he do sales there? No. I said, no. He is the designer. Whoa! And all the young people would say, wow! Can we get free games? They all know about it. And I even asked my daughter, can he give me an advance copy? Yeah. And then they said, well, what does your daughter do? Well, I said, her dad is an anesthesiologist, but she went against my advice. She is now an orthopedic surgeon. A little girl working on legs taller than she is. And I said, honey, find a job. Find a specialty like dermatology. Something that's easier. And Dad, she said, anesthesia is not real medicine. Putting people to sleep, that's too easy. And she said, I get great satisfactions. But, my second daughter went exactly against my advice too. We never have anybody in my family who is businessman. When she was growing up, my oldest daughter, if she doesn't read, study, she gets headache. My second daughter, whenever she sees books, she gets headaches. Just totally opposite. When she was in college, we were very fortunate that she got into college and she was studying business. She was majoring in international business, minoring in Netflix. And the reason is that she would be doing her paperwork and she would have that little small window up there and she was streaming and watching Netflix all the time. And she would watch 2 or 3 movies a night. And I said, no wonder your grade is no good. He says, very different. But now she worked for Chevron. She said, don't worry, Dad. I don't meet your definition of your success. But I'm good at what I do. I said, what is that? I can bargain. I know how to talk with people. She's now a buyer for Chevron. If she can talk the price down a little bit, she saved the company millions, and she gets a bonus. She now makes more money than I used to. Few months out of college. And no wonder out of my kids, I said, it's not fair. She called and texted and said, Dad, I just got another bonus. 7,000. Every time she saved the company something, she gets something. Well, she doesn't make mine. Well, I also have a set of twin boy, 18 years old. One of them, we named them Gabriel and Michael, the 2 archangels. They all grew up in the same family. We raised them the same. What other way? No, it's twin boys. One of them really loved the Lord. And when he was in the worship, we can see him, he's doing this. And the other one goes like this. or at the cell phone and text messaging. One of them would do the devotions. The other one, Sunday morning, he'll be yelling and says, "Do you know where my Bible is?" And our answer would be, "You never did bring it in. It's in the trunk of the car. You left it there." Very different. One of them runs marathon and gets second in his age group. The other one has a couch potato and just all he wants to do is play with his iPhones. Very different. Although we all try to raise him. But I tell you about this because as Christian parents, we try. We know it is the most important things. We know it is a great blessing that God has given us the four kids. They could have been born in other families. Yes, they were born in a doctor's families. Yes, we do provide them with whatever. But the reason that they were born in our family, we believe the greatest blessing is that they will share the same faith and our faith in God. That is, we will consider that as the real definition of success. True. I agree with tiger parenting. We're also trying to push them. Although we know that we think that we are smarter and we are wiser that we don't force our kids. But we do try to push them. But it is not the cars, the things that we have, or even our bank account that we hope that they will have. You know that now that our four kids are all grown, as parents, one day that you come to appreciate that. Now we look forward to every time when the kids come back, to come back to the home. And when they come back, sometimes when the kids now talk, and last time when they were back, all together, my daughter were playing with our grand piano in the living room. And we said to ourselves, "Wow, that is nice." Even though they are not any concert, we never got that far. But she was able to play "Shout to the Lord." It was really good. And after she finished playing, she says, "Dad, can I have the grand piano?" Woohoo! We are happy because she plays praise music. That means that she still have connections with church, and we know that she still has some spiritual roots. And the fact that she wants it, I said, "Sure, you can have the grand piano." My second daughter, the one who lives out in San Francisco in a condo, and says, "Well, my condo couldn't take the grand piano, but you do have an antique horse. Can I have that one?" Well, that's good. I thought, this girl when she was growing up, she wanted to have nothing to do with her dad. She had wanted nothing to do with Chinese either. She always says, "I hate Chinese. Oh, they're so fobby. I can't stand them." But every time she said, "Let's go eat dim sum." And then when you're eating dim sum, and then, you know, you can't just, everything is Chinese bad, Chinese stingy, Chinese dirty. Oh, I mean, I said, well, you're Chinese. She struggles and struggled with her own identity. She also struggled with her faith, religious identity. You know, that the fact that you have a father who is a pastor, a grandfather is a pastor, a great-grandfather is a pastor, it doesn't mean that you grow up, you just naturally become a Christian. She struggled. She said, I don't like church. I don't like this, your church, my church. Well, she's not by herself. 80% of young people in Chinese church, if you survey, and I'm not just throwing this out because I said survey say, this is all national study, PhD, doctoral thesis material. 80% of the young people in the Chinese church already made up their mind, once they get out, leave for college, I will not step into another Chinese church again. 80%. Well, I can count how many people. And you know that UCLA, they've been doing this study, follow-up study, for 15 years. And then this, they poll, and then they survey that says, are you a Christian? And then you say, yes. You come from a Christian home? Yes. You went to church? You were baptized? Yes. And then they track it every year for as long as in University of California at Los Angeles. The doctoral students in education and religious study do this every year, so they know. And 40% of UCLA are Asians. And the statistics. And the same thing is been born true with Southern Baptists when they do their nationwide study of the churches. It is true with the Pentecostal Assembly of God churches. And Barna researched the same way. And hear me out. Of every four that go into college, that claim that they are Christians, they come from a church, attended church before, or they come from Christian household. By the time their second year, half of them already not going to school, going to church, or having Bible study, and that's just jumped into it. By the time the fourth year comes, one out of four remain. That means that as soon as you leave here, we face a 75%, 80% loss rate. One out of four of you will continue to attend church once you grow up. And that is astounding. And that is one thing that's why I'm doing this. I was introduced that I was doing my medical careers. Even my sister still said, Jeff, just tell us the truth. What did you do? Why did you retire? Did you kill somebody? Were you forced to retire? Well, she's stupid. I said, I did not. I just made enough money. No, that's just, strike that, erase that. But, you know, it is like, well, I have four kids. I cannot accept the fact that one day when we're in heaven, my wife and I have this flap, wings in our flap, and then we say, oh, only our oldest daughter is here. Oh, that's okay. Our number one, number two, number three, our sons, Gabriel, Michael, are not here. That's okay. We just take whatever's. You know, that is the tragedy that churches face today. And we have to ask ourselves, what happened? We have people here, you know, from Babyland, Awana, Sunday school, youth group. You know, churches invested so much. My wife is in charge of Awana. I know how much they have to order. All the materials, all the things. And just strictly from the number of you, the point of view that if what the church invests and then you still have so much of a loss, we need to rethink. But for you, the young people here, it says, oh, they had nothing to do with me. But allow me to ask, to tell you. The fact that you're here, the fact that your parents made you to come to church, it does not make you a genuine Christian at all. Faith, your parents have the responsibility to raise you as one, but it is for you and I to own the relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is why Jesus said, yeah, my mom will be proud of me, but it is really the true blessing is the generation, the second generation, they really own the faith and be a real Christians. And allow me to kind of maybe shatter the glass a bit. We do not sneak or police what our kids do. But we do. We have friends on Facebook. Two things we parents, that we treasure that I'm friends with many of the young people. And number two, we don't make any judgment. But one thing, it really hurts us, is that when we see on the Facebook, it says, picture coming up. Las Vegas Hotel. Who and I, we are having a great time vacationing. And this is college freshman. This is daughter of our deacons. And this is her boyfriend. And she was just baptized a few years ago. And she grew up in a Christian home. Yes, we want to believe that, oh yeah, the two of you just, you were, you know, you rented a room and you sleep in separate bed. Yeah, I want to believe that. And I want to believe that the parents have did their very best. But what we have a great disconnect here. We have people that says we claim that we love the Lord. And I say the same thing with worship team. We have worship team members who live together. Of course, we don't say, hey, you got to do this, otherwise we'll kick you out. I'm not saying any of you. But we got to make our faith genuine. How much time do I have? Almost time? A few more minutes. I'll share with you my last story. Please make your faith genuine. A few years ago, or about 10 years ago, just before I finished before plenary retirement, they invited me to join a short-term missions to Vietnam. He says, well, we can use a doc, even though you're an anesthesiologist, and even though all you do is boob jobs, and that's okay. I said, I'll be happy to do it. So I went there, and obviously, you know, just do the simple things. Finally, 2 weeks gone by. Oh, man. I feel like I lost 2 weeks worth of pay, and I could have done something better. The last day, I says, well, we're going to take you out to do souvenir shopping. I've been around many places. I'm not really interested in souvenirs. But since everybody's going, I had to go. So, souvenir shop, you know how the Asian stalls and stalls of those stores. And everybody was looking for things. And I just started looking through. Nothing real interesting. But then there was the little plate or trinket. And so I went going through the trinket and just looking. And I look at it. Oh, wow. Man, all this little silver coin. And with a Chinese character and 1929. You know, whenever you find a treasure, you're not supposed to act excited. So I put it back. And it says, you have more of this? Oh, and then the person said, $10. No, I said, do you have any more? He said, no. Grandpa come from China. Only one. And then she looked at me and she said, $5. You know, when they're dropping the price, you just act cool. No. $1, just for you, Grandpa. I took it out. Okay, $1. I said, this guy is stupid. $1. I seen this on eBay before. I came home and I told everybody, and I said, ooh, this is silver. And I was so happy, I was so glad. And I was, for the remaining the days of my trip, I was praising God. You know, I'm serving, and now He pays for my trips. You know, I quickly went to the internet cafe, and I looked it up, and exactly just like this. Bidding starts at $22.50. And I told my wife, and I'll even make the phone call, and says, you know, you can't believe I got a real good. God was good for me. God is good to me. And I came back for 2 weeks, and I shared a testimony. I was serving. I was doing great. And I really see the connection that God is really, I have a purpose. That day, we were doing our surgery again. And as we were sewing it up, literally sewing it up here, And then I was telling them, I just struck rich. And the surgeon said to me, he says, well, you know what? Why don't you go have it tested? Authenticated. So I said, no, there's no need. But go ahead. So I went into the coin shop. And I walk in there and I says, my aunt just passed away. And she mailed me this coin. So I put it in, let me take a look. The guy took it and looked at it and says, did you just come back from Vietnam? I said, no way. My aunt just passed away. Pastor, not supposed to lie, no? She said, no, the guy says, you know, funny things. I just saw one of this a month ago. The guy came back from Vietnam too. He says, would you like to pay $15? I put a drop of acid, sulfuric acid on that. And if it turned green, then we know it's silver. I said, why would you want to do that? He says, well, if you buy it, if it's fake, nobody is stupid enough to put real silver into the coin, you know? And he says, I bet this is not silver. This is just alloy. And how much is it worth? Maybe a few pennies. I said, never mind. This has not been tested. I keep it here. But I tell the story that you and I, our faith has not been tested. And when it comes, do we still have the genuine faith? And are we going to be making Jesus proud? Because we are not only the hearer of the words, but also doer of the words. Let us bow our head and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again, especially on the Palm Sunday. True that we know that this has marked the beginning of you going to the cross. And we want to remember you because of your great sacrifice. But on Palm Sundays, as people see you victorious, as people see you in their eyes there as successful, reaching that what everybody would admire, Lord, that just allow us to reflect on what exactly that my parents are pushing me toward, and what exactly that I consider is success. Lord, again, your own words, the kind words that you said to that woman, blessed is the one who knows the word and keep the words. Lord, that we have so many young people here, we praise you. You give them this church. Above all, you give them Christian parents. Lord, that we just pray that yet their faith would be genuine. We know that it's not because that we are raised in a Christian family, therefore we become Christian family. We know the influence. We know the modeling. It's important, but Lord, it is, we need to make the connections. Lord, we just pray that this church would also, through many different activities, do that. But most importantly, that you speak to each and every one of us. Lord, am I true? Am I genuine before you? Or am I just putting up a look? Convict us. Speak to us. Your Holy Spirit. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Reverend Lee, for that message, for helping us to redefine our measure of definition of success, to refocus on Jesus Christ and our faith. At this point, I'd like to ask the ushers to come forward, please. We're going to receive this morning's offerings, and we'll do the announcements as well at the same time. Africa.